All right, hello, and dude, we're starting the show, are we not?
I needed a cup of Java.
Sorry, we were practicing that one for a while.
Execution was poor.
Yeah, whatever. The point is, today, clearly, obviously, we're talking about Java.
Yeah, right? Java with Visual Studio.
You know what, and the crazy part to me is, and I know I say this to you every time when we do something like this, and you bring up these things, and I'm just like, back in the day. We're going to start with back in the day right off the top.
Get off my lawn!
Well, no, because that's what it was.
Yes.
That's what it was. Back in the day when I was doing development, you had your Java people on the one side. You had your Microsoft people on the other side. First of all, there was a big line drawn in the middle. You don't talk to each other. You don't do anything like that because that's your stack. This is my stack. We don't share anything.
Absolutely.
And then trying to do like the whole see, I can't even say it. I'm not even used to saying it.
Yeah.
The whole cross-language thing didn't work, right? And especially,
even though the syntaxes are very similar.
Well, but that's the thing. So every time I'd be like, well, guys, this is to the Java guys. I'd be like, okay, except, you know, like C#, right? Close enough. They're like, uh-uh. Mm-hmm. No. I'm like, whatever. Let's not have this fight. And then the other things that we would have, too, these interesting discussions where we always had to integrate with Java-based web services.
Yep.
From Microsoft-based line of business apps,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and then they're all, it's never going to work. I'm like, okay, hold on a second. But the whole point of APIs is that you actually use a generic language to talk between
loosely
multiple systems.
Loosely coupled architectures.
Right.
You know?
Now, funny enough, it never did actually work.
Wow. Yeah. There are ways. Right. I've worked on heterogeneous language environments and things like that. There are ways to make it work, and there are ways where it can fail miserably. Absolutely agree.
Right. But now we fast forward. What's it been like now? Thinking, and processing. I think it's been 10 years now. For me, since these things were going on.
Yeah.
No, sorry, it's been 8 years. I don't do math. Come on. Anyway, it's been 8 years, and the world is different. And that's why I'm super pumped that we're talking about this today.
Yeah.
On how, you know, for my Java friends that are out there that, you're doing your thing, you know, we don't have to have this war anymore in terms of you should be using my tools, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
We can all just play nicely together.
Well, it fits in nicely with the whole outlook that Microsoft has around technology as well. So, yes, certainly we have great platforms like .NET and, you know, great languages like C# and VB.NET and a bunch of others.
I was hoping that you'd say VB. I'm like, don't disappoint
no,
VB people.
No, absolutely not. No, they're great languages, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you know, this divide, as you call it, between, you know, different developers, you know, it can get a little bit tiring, right? And frankly, it's non-productive as well. It's counterproductive, I guess, is the right way to put it. So
We're both,
yeah. I guess you could say that.
Right.
Just like, you know, a car without a steering wheel is counterproductive.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah.
It's also dangerous.
Unless you're drag racing.
Fair.
But, yeah. Then it's not road. Anyways, we digress. But
yeah, reel that one back in. I don't know where you were going with that one.
But, yeah, but the interesting thing is, like, I mean, I know you've seen it. I've seen it as well, just the new Microsoft and how we sort of approach things. And, yes, we're still very much a Microsoft platform organization, obviously, right? .NET, Windows, Microsoft Azure. But we also want to play nicely with other developers so that they can see the value that we bring to them as well. Productivity is one of the main pillars of Microsoft's new mission statement, I guess
Absolutely.
It was. And this actually is, you know, from a developer context, this is a way to show that. So
and Breakpoint. We're here to make you more productive also.
And make you laugh.
Ideally,
yes. Anyways, okay, so let's actually talk about this. So like we talked about, we're going to be talking about Java today, right? And
that's a gorgeous slide, by the way.
Thank you. It's probably the nicest slide I've ever made.
Okay.
Whatever.
Maybe we should show it to everyone. Let's show this beautiful slide. There it is. Look at that.
Okay. All right.
Gorgeous.
So anyways. We're going to talk about Java today. We're going to talk about it in the context of Microsoft technologies. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're building Java applications for Windows. I'm actually talking about it from the developer experience. So we're going to talk a lot about how Java works with the Visual Studio suite of tools. And it doesn't necessarily mean building Java applications using the Visual Studio integrated development environment.
I was going to say, so today's episode is all about writing Java in Visual Studio.
No.
Not at all, actually.
Yeah, because there's lots of goodness that's already out there from an integrated development environment, as well as some other tools.
Cool.
So we're going to show you how those tools can work with our tools to make a better experience overall. And hopefully you'll agree with us by the end of it. And if you have any comments, definitely give us a comment in the comment section as well.
Yeah, or, and especially because some of this stuff might not be as necessarily straightforward, depending on how familiar you are with the Microsoft tooling platform, the Microsoft platform itself.
Yeah.
By all means, if you have the questions, put them up in the comments, and we'll get those answers to you.
Absolutely. So, like I said, we're going to talk about Java.
Okay.
And a lot of people ask me if they're talking about Java. So there's a lot of customers that I talk to that are Java development shops, and they want to find out about how the Visual Studio tooling can support their needs and make them more productive, or, you know, they're surprised that that's even an option. So the first thing that I always tell them is, if they want to get up to speed with some of the things that are available, is to go to this website. So this is the other nice slide that I have. It's nice. Yeah.
Pretty.
So, java.visualstudio.com. Yes, it is pretty.
You're on a roll today, Paul.
I am.
Honestly.
I am. So,
top-notch video production quality.
Yes, absolutely. Or PowerPoint, Kung Fu, whatever you want to call it. So anyways, although the spacing's a little off on the Java.
Oh,
I couldn't get
would
the
you end. Just, you're a developer. Keep going.
Yes, yeah.
No one's going to notice.
No. Okay, so anyways, java.visualstudio.com is your first best resource for anything to do with Java developers wanting to know more about how they can use the Microsoft platform from a tooling perspective. We're going to go through some of the things that are on that site, but more specifically, we're going to show you some of these things as a result of what some of the resources are that are
nice.
On that site. So let's actually, before we get to that, though, we're going to talk about how we approach Java as a Visual Studio team. And because there's a lot of misconceptions there. Like we talked about, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Visual Studio integrated development environment is going to be your go-to developer tool, because there's lots of great developer tools out there. And I'm going to show you a couple that a lot of developers use and how that works with our tooling as well.
Cool.
So the first one, and that I sort of alluded to this just now, is that you can use the IDE that you know and love or continue to use it. So Eclipse and from the Eclipse organization, as well as JetBrains and the IntelliJ platform, or IDE, I guess you should say, are very popular with Java developers. And if you're a Java developer, you probably already know that. So you can continue to use those ones that you know and love. So that's good news, right?
You can also use, you can continue to use Notepad too.
Well, yes, you could, or Sublime, or Visual Studio Code even, but, you know, whatever.
Notepad++.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Atom, whatever. Also, we have cross-platform compatibility. So the intent here is to say that, you know, just because you're using Visual Studio tooling with Java doesn't mean that you have to target Windows. And in fact, most of the customers I talk to, again, that are using Java with Visual Studio, they're not targeting Windows. They're targeting Linux. They're targeting Solaris. They're targeting whatever it is that they decide to make use of. And then also the state-of-the-art DevOps tooling. We've talked a lot about our DevOps platform on previous episodes of Breakpoint, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. And in fact, the demo that I have is using Visual Studio Team Services, which is our online version of our version control, work tracking, build engine, deployment engine, testing engine, you name it. And it all works really, really well with some of the Java stuff that we're going to be doing today.
Cool. And just in case you're frantically looking as you're watching this, all of a sudden, you know, you heard Paul said, yeah, it's on a previous episode. Don't worry about it. We have the links for those previous episodes on DevOps down below, so you don't have to go searching.
There you go. There you go.
It's all about productivity, right? We promise to make the show productive for people.
Well, we try.
So I'm not going to make you go search for the show.
No. No.
All right.
Okay, anyways.
How about another way of looking at it?
Another way of looking at it. How did you know? I tell you.
That teleprompter you have in front of me is awesome. Yeah,
brain-to-brain osmosis? No? Okay. Neural networks and artificial intelligence that apparently is going to kill us all, according
One
to
day.
Elon Musk.
Yeah. One day.
Great book, by the way, about that. Robopocalypse. It's a great
Paul's
book.
On a roll today,
yes.
In terms
anyways.
Of, like, totally not staying
yeah.
on topic.
Okay, so anyways, here we are. Another way of looking at it. So I created some nice picture blocks here just
Love
to show
it.
You. So
Love it.
There's a few things that we have that can help you from a Java standpoint. So the first is IDE support. So what's interesting is that Eclipse and IntelliJ, as I said before, we have a number of different sort of plugins that allow you to integrate with our DevOps tooling. So for Eclipse, that's Team Explorer Everywhere. And there's a VSTS, also known as Visual Studio Team Services, plug-in for IntelliJ as well. So there you have that. Now, what we also have is if you are really, really interested in trying Visual Studio as your Java development environment, we do have some limited Java built-in with for Android development and things like that. But there's also some community extensions and updates and things. And I'll show you just a few of the ones that I've found anyways. I can't speak to how productive they are because I haven't personally used them, but at least you can see them. And you can find your own, or you can even create your own Java extension. So one of the great things about, you know, for example, the .NET platform and the Roslyn engine is you can create your own compilers and things like that. Mind you, I think that might be only for .NET. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But and then also what's not on here, but is still relevant, is command line tooling. So, you know, if you want to do compiles using, you know, command line toolings, you can certainly do that. But we also have Visual Studio Team Services plugins to command line toolings, such as Git and things like that, to help you with some of those things. From a Visual Studio Team Services standpoint, we also have backlog and planning capabilities. So if you use Agile or Scrum or Waterfall, or you have a custom methodology for your software development, we can support you with that. It doesn't matter that you're using Java or .NET or, you know, Python or Ruby or assembly, whatever, right? You know, we have a ability for you to manage that work as well. And then version control. So a lot of developers today are using Git. Right?
Yep.
So GitHub is a great public sort of repository resource for you to actually put code that you want to share with others, whether it's in a limited sense or a very public sense. But we support that within Visual Studio Team Services, as well as our centralized version control. So whatever it is that you decide to use for your Java development, for managing the version control, we support it, which is kind of cool. And in fact, in a very near future, we've actually blogged about this on the Visual Studio Team blog, around the ability to use both different types of version control on the same team project, which is kind of cool.
And fascinating at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, you had mentioned GitHub, mm-hmm. but what about Git, local Git on Azure? Does that work with what you're saying here too, or that's just different on the side?
So
you can run your own local Git within the Azure environment.
Well, yeah, I mean, Git you can run locally on your desktop, for example,
right.
and things like that. So Git provides a whole bunch of toolkits around that. So you can do those types of things. You can set up your own Git environment in the cloud if you want to as well. Absolutely, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there that there is that option in case, for whatever reason, you don't want to use GitHub, the I guess you can call it the public GitHub.
Yeah, or Visual Studio Team Services. But why wouldn't you not want to use it? So,
hey.
Anyways.
You got to go with what organizations feel comfortable with, right?
Absolutely. So build, cross-platform build, that includes the ability to create Java builds. And I'm going to show you one that uses Maven, for example.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. Maven, if you're a Java developer, you're probably very familiar with Maven. It's actually, to me, in the my kung fu on Java is probably fairly limited. You'll probably notice this when I do my demos. But the fact of the matter is from what I've seen in Maven, it's a really nice way to actually manage your builds and to manage how you deploy, or not deploy, but basically manage, you know, versions of your application code and stuff like that as well,
right.
which is kind of cool. So
we won't hold your Java kung fu against you.
No foo, please, yes.
I promise.
Yes. Testing. So we provide testing tools from an automated standpoint as well as a manual standpoint. And some of those, or actually all of them, depending on what you're trying to do, will work with Java development code or Java code as well. So manual testing obviously will work just fine with any sort of Java development. Automated tests, like if you're building a JSP site, so a Java Server Pages site, that'll work with the automated tooling that we have and such like that. So just something to keep in mind. And then we also have deployment capabilities. So deploy your solution, your Java-based solution or your heterogeneous solution to Windows, to Linux, to almost any type of deployment platform that you can think of using a release management or release management service tooling. So there's that as well. And then we also provide telemetry. So once your application's in the environment that you are targeting, you can provide capability of getting telemetry information from your application using something called Application Insights. So
we've done an episode on that.
Yeah,
one,
so I'm not going to dive too deeply into that one because we actually did an episode on that. And even though the episode that we did that in was with C#, it's actually very, very similar to what it would be with Java as well.
Yeah, it's so just a different SDK.
It's a Java SDK, and as well, you know, if you're using a web application using JSP, well, there's a JavaScript SDK as well that you can use as well. So it's that. And then finally, if you want to extend your capability and your experience, well, you can certainly do that with add-ons and features. So the Visual Studio Marketplace, which I'll show you a little bit of as well, is a way to add on features into your Visual Studio Team Services account or, you know, various different other things such as 90E. There's also the Visual Studio Gallery, which I sort of mentioned in the Visual Studio community extensions and things like that. So that's where you can get, you know, community-built Java support for Visual Studio. And the last thing, which isn't really necessarily a developer tool, but it's something that I think everybody needs to know about, is User Voice.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna show you this as well, because User Voice is our portal that allows you to get a better understanding of, you know, what's in the pipeline from a Visual Studio product perspective, because the team actually looks at requests from User Voice to prioritize the backlog. And if you have a burning urge and need to provide capability of Java development directly in, say, for example, Visual Studio, the integrated development environment, you can put up a vote for that. And if we get enough votes on that, well, you know what? If it's feasible, if it makes sense for the product team to prioritize that, they may actually do that. I'm not saying they will, because I'm not the one that makes that decision, but that might be something to consider as well as part of that. So just keep that in mind as well. All right, so let's actually get into demo and out of slides, because I think now we can actually sort of show some stuff.
Nice.
So let's get out of this, and I'll minimize this. And the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to go to java.visualstudio.com. So as I mentioned before, this is the main place for you to show up and see information about Java. So you can see here, there's a nice little video by Jamie Cool, which is actually great. So if you want to get a 12-minute overview of, you know, some of the stuff that I'm showing here in a little bit greater detail, you can certainly do that. We also provide some documentation support and downloads. So from a documentation standpoint, I'll just show you very quickly, it gives you the getting started capability, some, you know, ability to make use of Agile Git workflows in Visual Studio Team Services, which we'll show you. The tooling capabilities. So some of the plugins for Eclipse and IntelliJ, as well as a Git credential manager that you can use as part of this, as well as integrations with things like Subversion and things. So there's a whole bunch of things around that. The downloads, you can see here, for example, if I go to the Eclipse plugin, it sort of shows you where you can get the plugin for Eclipse. And I'll show you how to install this and all that kind of stuff as well, as well as the IntelliJ plugin and a few other things as well. So definitely check this out. If you're not familiar with how Visual Studio works with Java, then definitely take a look at that. I think it's worthwhile for you to do that. So without further ado, I think what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to show you how to install the Team Explorer Everywhere plugin for Eclipse, and then I'm going to show you where you can get it in IntelliJ as well, because those are the two most popular Java development environments. So here, if you go to java.visualstudio.com, you can download go to the download page for Team Explorer Everywhere, and then you can download it. So I'm not going to bother downloading it right now, but here you can see the various different sort of things, and then once you click on Next after you've selected them, it'll actually download it. Now I'm going to go into a virtual machine that I have in the cloud on Azure. I'm going to show you how to do this. So I've actually already, here it is right here, the TFS Eclipse plugin right here. It's kind of tough to see, so I'll make that a little bit smaller, bigger for you. But here, for example, you can see that, and then we can go forward from there. So now let's actually go to the Eclipse IDE so I can show you this. This is just the Mars distribution of Eclipse, which is the most recent version as far as I know. But it's similar in other versions as well. So all you have to do is go to Help. Go to Install New Software, okay, right down here. And then you go to Add, go to Archive, and then you pick where the actual install plugin is here. So you just click on that, click on OK. And there it is right there, Team Explorer Everywhere. So click on this and click on Next. And then it's going to actually install it and everything else like that once we finish this. I got to accept the terms. Click on Finish.
Now, in theory, you've read those terms.
I've read them, yes.
I'm sure, have read them
several times.
Once
at least, yeah. No nefarious information.
Just make sure, especially if you're installing different things in a corporate environment, stuff like that, just make sure you read.
Yes.
Just in case.
Yeah. So, you know, that's always good to do that for sure. But there isn't anything nefarious in there. A lot of our customers use it today. And just as a clarification point, in case it wasn't clear, the reason why I'm installing this is because this will allow me to get TFS or Visual Studio Team Services, which is TFS as a service hosted in the cloud, for you to actually make use of that communication natively within Eclipse, which is good.
Right.
So I'm going to click on...
otherwise you'd have to do everything through a browser, right?
Well, yeah, exactly, right? So, or command line tools.
Right.
Or something like that.
And this way it gives you a graphical user interface into it.
Yep. So it's just asking me to restart. We'll leave that as is, but really that's what you need to do. And then at that point, once everything's done, it'll ask you to log into your Visual Studio Team Services account to get to it. So click on the context menu, or the perspective menu as it's called. And you can see here, for example, when I clicked on that, there's a Team Foundation Server Exploring perspective. So we're going to click on that, click on OK. And at that point, I connect to the Team server, say yes to the terms. And here, for example, I click on servers, add, and I say, I put in my Visual Studio Team Services account. Visual Studio. If I learned to type, this would be helpful too. But this could be an on-premises TFS server as well. So I'm just using Visual Studio Team Services, but it can be either. Click on that. And of course, it's going to ask me to sign in. Okay, that's fine. I don't need that for this. Okay, close. And now default collection. And then I can basically choose which one I want. So I can click on Deep Space Demo, which is the one we're going to use. Finish. And then once it's already connected and things like that, then I'll have the ability to do whatever I need to do with that, and I can use that for my Java development and things like that. So we'll leave that as is. As you can see, the Deep Space Demo, I can do whatever I need to. I can open the web portal. I can import the repository or clone the clone URL, those types of things. So once I've done that, then I'm ready to go, and I can use Java for developing in Eclipse. Now, for IntelliJ, which is the other very popular sort of repository, the way you actually get the VSTS plugin for that is you go to File, you go to Settings, and you do a search here. So basically what I need to do here is if I do a team, okay, so I need to browse repositories because I need to get there. So if I go to, let's say, Visual Studio, there we go, Visual Studio Team Services. I click on install, so that's basically, it's in preview right now as of the recording of this, but we're working hard on it, and there's more documentation on the java.visualstudio.com website. Click on install, and then it goes and starts installing it and everything else like that. So there you go, restart IntelliJ, and then once that's done, then you can go and forward and actually make use of it there as well. So we'll just, restart, and there you go. So that literally is the long and short of actually getting VSTS or TFS capabilities within these integrated development environments, which
nice
is nice.
And simple.
It is.
The nice part is that you don't have to go through lengthy installs. You don't have to go through crazy downloads and stuff like that. So
yeah. So and they're
productivity.
Exactly. And these things are fully supported by Microsoft. So they will update it as new versions of require it and things like that.
Perfect.
So, and we're pretty good with that, I will say that.
And that's actually probably where the user voice stuff comes in as well, is that as you're working with these things, because am I skipping ahead?
No, you're not. Actually, that was what I was going to show next. So it's like We actually practice.
I was just getting excited that because you said this is actually Microsoft supported. So it's not like just a pet project where, someone did some code and here it is, it works. This is an actual product, right? So as you're working with it, you actually want to influence where it's going. You want to give us feedback. You want to suggest how we can optimize things.
Yep.
Paul will show you how to do that right now.
Absolutely. So, visualstudio.uservoice.com. So just get there so you can see that. That literally is. And we'll provide the link to you if you want. So click on that. I'm pretty sure this is the one. Yep, this is it. And if you want to, you can basically do a search. So I search for Java, for example, and you can see there's a few here. Add Java support, Java development, add support for Java, IntelliSense, for example. So if I click on this one here, yeah, this is a good one here. So basically, you can see here with Microsoft's recent giant leaps into forward open source technologies, it's time ripe for it to add Visual Studio support for Java. So if you like this, you can add a like to it and vote for it. The more votes you get, the more visibility the Visual Studio team has into this specific request. And if it makes sense for the Visual Studio team to prioritize it to a backlog, or to an iteration, they will do that. And what you'll notice here as well, if I go back, as you'll see here, for example, the things that are under review and everything else like that. So you can see here, this one's under review, another one under review. The ones that are actually going to be implemented, I'm not sure, there seem to be a lot of under reviews, but you can see that if it's blue, there's actually saying construction, or I can't remember the exact terminology, but we have a good sort of track record into listening to our end users. And if this is something really important to you, definitely vote on it. And if it makes sense, then like I said, we'll take a look at it and see if we can prioritize it if there's that opportunity. So that's basically it for that. And now what we're going to do is we're going to actually go to Visual Studio Team Services and show you some of these things too.
Cool.
Okay. So actually right here. So if you've not seen Visual Studio Team Services before, or TFS, Team Foundation Server, which is our on-premises version of this, this is basically the ability for you to manage your work, version control, build, deployment, and testing.
Now, funny enough, you said if you haven't, if you have seen this before, you haven't. Either way, that's a brand new interface since the last time we showed it. So
it might be. Well, okay. So this looks different because this is just a default template.
Fair enough. Either way, your default template looks different than the last time we saw it.
So that's a great thing about a service, right? We add new capabilities and things like that. So this is basically the dashboard view. So if you've not seen Visual Studio Online lately, it's actually been rebranded as Visual Studio Team Services. And it's also now got some great things around dashboard. And you can create multiple dashboards for different teams and things like that. Like I said, I'm not really going to get into that specific component just because we can talk about that later, or we can show you in different sort of videos. It's really not sort of contextual to the Java component right here. What I am going to do is first go to the Work tab. I'm going to show you here very quickly. So you can see here, for example, I have this Deep Space Java demo. By the way, the demo that I'm showing you is the exact same code that you can get from java.visualstudio.com. And the reason for that was I thought about actually, creating my own Java application. I was thinking to myself, well, it would suck because my Java foo is really bad, right? But also, this is a good way to show how, a successful implementation can work. And you can sort of, tick and tie it to maybe a an exercise that you do as after the fact once
Love
you
it.
Get the information. Because all the code that you're going to see here is fully downloadable and everything else like that. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to show you the backlogs. So you can see the backlog, and right now we only have one item in the backlog. And basically what this is, before I do anything else, maybe I'll show you the actual application. You can see here, this is basically warping by and everything else like that, and you can see all that. So it's basically a Java application that does that. It's all it is a, it's something that provides the capability of, changing your, taking a look at planets and the sun warping by, which is, I guess, kind of cool in some ways or whatever. So anyways, that's what you see here. So you can see here, the user can see the Earth warp by. This is basically a requirement or a user story in this case, because I'm using an Agile template. So Agile, Scrum, or waterfall methodologies for your development you can use. In this case, I can add a description and say, user should be able to see the Earth fly by, whatever. And this is just a requirement. So I'm going to save and close this. Okay, nothing too wild there. We also have a Kanban board. So you have the ability to take a look at the Kanban board. And as you can see here, this specific requirement has actually been broken down into two tasks that are currently active, and I've assigned them to myself to actually work on. So I need to create the Earth warp code, and I also need to create the Earth the code for the Earth warp tests and things like that. So we can see that these are all things that we need to take a look at. So which is next is we're going to talk about the code, right? So you can see here the code. And you can see here the it shows the last build, and the last build was successful. If it failed, it would have shown it failed on the master branch. And you can create new branches if you want and things like that. So it's a fully fledged enterprise ready. Even though if you're not an enterprise, you can still use it for version control. And again, it's Git or centralized version control. It's really up to you. And as you can see right here, there's the source and things like that. So what's interesting here is I can take a look at this, and if I want to see, for example, main. I'll go to imageservice.java. you can see basically here's the Java information. So you can see the code right here. There's some color coding. So we get the color coding for Java applications as well, which is kind of cool. I can get history, which is kind of cool too. So you can see all the check-ins that I did. So you can see all the check-ins that I did as I was playing around with it and horsing around with it. I can do compares. So again, you have the ability to compare between different versions. So you can see here I actually uncommented this in the previous version, for example, and things like that. So you have the ability to do that. So, you know, there's all sorts of different things that are available here within version control. There's also the ability to have a discussion about the code within this as well if I want to. So, for example, if I take a look at this and I take a look at the recommented Earth code, I can take a look at this. I'm just going to do a contents look here. And you can see here, if, say, for example, I wanted to add a discussion about this and I could click on a balloon here that you can see. And I could say, good job breaking the build. Way to go. Okay, whatever. But you know, you have the ability to see all this kind of stuff and you can have a conversation about the code, which is kind of cool too, which is nice. Okay, so with that being said, let's actually go to the IDE. So I've actually got the IDEs with the plugins already installed and I've already opened up, for example, the Java sort of project here. So I'm using Git version control, as you can see right here. The Team Explorer. So let's see here, for example. You can see if I go to the home page, this is a Team Explorer that you get when you install the Team Explorer Everywhere plugin for Eclipse. So I'm in Eclipse right now. You can see we have Git repositories, work items, builds, and settings. So I have the ability to work with TFS or Visual Studio Team Services directly from Eclipse if I'm a developer, so I don't have to go into the portal if I don't want to. So you can see here, for example, work items. You can see, for example, if I go to, product planning, you can see running the query. There's four different sort of work items here so that user can see the sun warp by, Jupiter warp by, see the Earth warp by. So I'm going to double click on that. And you can get a better understanding of the user story. So if you remember when I opened it up in the portal, you got that card that showed the specifics of that requirement. Well, you have the same ability within Visual Studio. Well, in Eclipse, I should say, to actually take a look at that, which is kind of nice too.
Was that slip intentional?
No, it was absolutely not.
You're just so used to saying Visual
Studio. I am used
to
saying
Visual Studio. But now that you've mentioned that, though, mm-hmm. Let's take a time out here for a second. In that, as you're watching kind of like everything unfold here in Eclipse, what's crazy about this is that, especially if you're working with other friends who are using Visual Studio, you'll actually notice that the interface is exactly the same. Well, I mean, relative to the IDE, but for all intents and purposes, a lot of the things literally look the same. And so as you're working, it's actually, talk about productivity. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't know the tool necessarily that well or whatever, you have your friends that you can reach over on the .NET side and be like, hey, how do I do this? And chances are, it'll literally be the exact same.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. So I was just, as you're playing around with it, I'm like, wow, that's incredibly similar.
Yep.
And that, of course, the one thought before that was like, I feel like I've seen this before. And then it occurred to me that it is actually the same interface.
Yeah, which is kind of cool, right? Yeah.
Well, it just makes things easier, especially for a heterogeneous environment where you have
exactly.
Both, right? The last thing that you want is the tooling to be different also.
Exactly, right? So I can even take a look at the builds, for example, and you can see here, I have no recent builds that I've got within this specifically. I can double click on this, which is my build definition, and then it goes directly to my build right here, for example. And we're going to talk about this in a second, so I'm going to exit that for now. But the intent here is that, you can see all the various different things around that. I can take a look at settings, which are things such as security of my project, if I have access to do that. I can also talk about iterations and things like that. So all sorts of things there that are you can do also in the portal. I can also take a look at, I showed you the work items, so I won't bother showing you that. And then also the Git repository, which we talked about. So you can see all the various different sort of code that you see here. And I got two of these things sort of set up here. So you see here, for example, I have an image service test.java. And obviously, if you know Java, this is probably very recognizable to you. So this is just Eclipse, as I said before. And what you can see here is I can probably do some certain things around this. I'm actually going to add a very, very simple change. I'm actually not going to make any changes to the code itself because knowing demos specifically, it's going to fail it. So rather than do that, I'm just going to add a comment, okay? And I'm just going to say this comment is for, the breakpoint demo. Okay. But, you know, if I was actually doing some real Java development, I could do whatever. I'm going to save that. And if you take a look here, right-click on this, I can commit this. So if I right-click, you can sort of maybe make this a little larger. So you see all the various different things that you can do. So this is a Git repository within Visual Studio Team Services, and you have all the typical things that you would typically want to see within Visual Studio or within a Git sort of repository, so I can do all sorts of things like that. So in this case, I've actually decided, no, I didn't want to clean the repository. I wanted to select commit. So you can see here the one file that we changed, which was that code comment that we created. So I'm going to click on this, give it a commit message. So I'm going to basically say at this point, I want to added a comment, for example, and I'm going to commit and push this so that I can actually just put this directly into Visual Studio Team Services. And as you can see right there, there's a commit, and the repository is right there, and then I actually put it in, click on OK, and that's basically it. Now, before I do anything else, I'm going to go to the build. So if I go back to Visual Studio Team Services and I go to the build area, I've actually set this up to be a continuous integration build, which basically means that every single time I check in code, it's actually going to kick off a build. So you can see here in the queue, it actually has this build 89 that's actually being kicked off. So it's actually doing something right now. So let's actually show you what this build looks like, because this is build is done through what's called a build definition. So if I actually look at this build right here, and I'm going to edit it, this is a very simple one. And as you can see right here, what I've done is I've got these different steps, I should say. So you can see here, I got a Maven step that I've added. So this is Java, Java. It's looking for the pom.xml file, which is one of the main components of a Maven build, or a Maven step, I should say. So I just basically define where it is within my solution, which happens to be in the root. So that's why you just see pom.xml. You can see I want to package it as the end state, and then I want to publish any sort of JUnit tests, which are some tests associated with this as well. And if I have any things like Sonar Cube Analysis or anything else like that, I can do that. Now let's actually take a look at this, and I can see here, for example, I also have a curl upload. Some people call it curl, but I call it curl anyways. And you can see here basically what I'm doing is I'm actually saying that the results of that Maven build, I want to actually push that up to an Azure website. So we're going to host this Java application as a JSP site, or a Java site, I should say, not a JSP site. So basically, I'm saying that I want to bring all the WAR files from the target state in there. And basically here you can see a username and password that we basically defined within the Azure website. And in fact, if you want to follow along with this and you want to create the same website, that's exactly what they do within the java.visualstudio.com tutorial. And there's the FTP URL, optional arguments that are associated with it, and all those types of things. So you see all that. You can see that there's some options. So I can actually, create different sort of things around my build as well. So create a work item on failure. So anytime that there's a build failure, I want to create a bug, for example. Repository. So this is basically saying where I'm going to get the code. So you can add different repositories. For example, if you want to get it from a non-Visual Studios Team Services. So say, for example, you're doing your version control within GitHub. Well, you can still use Visual Studio Team Services build with GitHub or an on-premises implementation of version control or whatever it is that you want as well. Variables, which are sort of variables associated with your application. In this case, you can see, for example, the Azure FTP website password. So I can actually upload the files, which is, as you can see, locked down. So I can actually show it to you, which is probably a good thing. Yeah. Triggers. So here's where I basically define it as a continuous integration to say, hey, this is where I want to actually provide my ability to create a build every single time I check in, for example. And you can see here, the filters on master, basically. I can also do it on a schedule way. So say, for example, I wanted to do it every morning at 3 a.m. or whatever, I can do that as well. Some general information. This is basically defining where I'm actually going to be doing my build. Because this is Visual Studio Team Services hosted in Microsoft Azure, I can actually use the hosted build agent on my behalf to do it. Or if I have a build agent that I want to run locally on premises, I can do that as well. And a few other things, you can see that there's certain things. I have to make sure that the agent knows about Maven and curl. So you have that ability there. some rules around retention, so you can decide whether or not to keep your build results and things like that, like the assets, so like the build binaries and things like that if you want, as well as the history. And you can see here, for example, all the changes that I made within the actual, within the build. And this is good because this sort of tells you exactly who's changing your build definition and when and why. So you can even do, for example, if I want to take a look at this, I want to say, do a search and say, for example, do a difference between the two. You can see here, for example, I added this component, and the build is defined within a JSON file, which is kind of cool too. So all this is available to you, and it's all ready to go. So let's actually take a look at the build. And you can see here, for example, queued build, it's gone because it's actually finished. So let's take a look. And phew, it actually worked.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, right? Yes, you thankfully never, it worked.
I would hope it worked if all I did was a comment, right?
Well, we had that one time where... Remember, you were trying to do the demo, and for the life of us, we could not figure out why it wouldn't build.
Yeah, that's true, right?
We may have taken that part out of the finished product.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened there, to be honest. There was
Paul's
a hiccup.
Not perfect, okay, people. No. It may look like the finished episode looks perfect, but...
Yep. But you can see here, for example, what we have is a build definition. You know, the source version was from that commit that I did, so the check-in. You can see the associated changes. There was no code coverage that I've added to this build, but I could do that. But I also have some unit tests associated with this, which is kind of cool. So if I take a look at the detailed report, you see all tests passed, only failed tests are shown here. So I'm going to show you one, for example, that had failed tests. But this is important because you can actually see right away, you know, how well your tests, how you're doing and things like that as well. You can also see all the various different sort of things around your build. So you can see how long each step took. So creating the Maven POM XML file took a minute. And then uploading it to the Azure website with curl took around 6 seconds, and then get sources took 2 seconds, for example. So that's all nice. Let's actually take a look at one that failed. And you can see here, for example, we have this one, and you can see here that we have one failed test, which is nice to know, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see a detailed report. Now, the detailed report is interesting because, and I'm not sure why this is showing up this way. Okay, there. As you can see, for example, the one test that failed, and you can see it's this get by name earth. I don't know why it's double name get, but you can see here, for example, all the various different information. You can see the stack trace. So again, if you need to debug for whatever reason, you can see that. You can even get the stack trace here, although it's kind of funky. I'm not sure why that is. I can even create a bug for this build directly. So it's, and I can do it automatically if I wanted to, that by checking that box for the create work item for example, or I can do it this way. And I can basically say, and I'm going to assign this to, say, for example, myself. And there's the information about it. And I'm going to say it's new. And I'm going to save and close it. So now this is a new bug that's been assigned to myself in this case to fix, for example, and things like that. So there's a lot there that you can see. And if we take a look, for example, at the Azure website, it should be up and running still. So let's actually take a look at that. There it is. I'll refresh it just to make sure. There we go.
There it is.
And, you know, there it is. I can zoom in, for example. Or not zoom in, but zoom the speed so I can have, you know, transwarp drive, I guess, technically.
One day.
Yes, one day. Captain Styles with the Excelsior couldn't make it work, but we'll see if we can. Okay, anyways.
That was a reference for you, Trekkies.
Yes, exactly. Star Trek 3. Okay, so anyways, so that's just sort of showing you what this Azure website does. Now, let me show you quickly before I get to Azure and talk a little bit about how it supports Java as well. I'm going to talk a little bit about IntelliJ.
For a second, I stopped listening to you because I was so mesmerized by this, right? The space stuff on your screen. I'm just like, ooh, I feel like I'm going through space
mass. Yes, indeed.
All right, back to your screen.
Okay.
Thank you for hiding that now so that I'm not mesmerized.
There we go, even better. Okay, so anyways, when I opened up IntelliJ, which is by JetBrains, this is a community edition. So this works under the community edition as well as the professional or whatever they call it, the paid version. This community version is basically the free version. And it does have some limits as to what you can do, but it's good for this demo and good for just sort of hobby programming as well. But the IntelliJ plugin for VSTS works on both, so you have that. So you can see I've already got the Deep Space demo already set up for connectivity, but it's actually really, very easy to set this up. All I have to do is check out for version control. And this, for example, if I take a look at this, you can see that we have from GitHub, Now we have from Team Services Git because we installed the plugin, as well as some of the other ones. So these are the ones that are, well, I shouldn't have done that, but basically Git, Mercurial, and Subversion. All those are available as part of the default install. This one, the Team Services Git, is new because I installed the VSTS plugin for that. So right. I'm going to choose the VSTS Git. And basically, it's going to, I think I have a password set up on this. I don't remember anymore. It's a good question. There we go. And it's actually going to my Visual Studio Team Services. And here you see the Deep Space Java demo that I actually have here. So I can take a look at that. If I try to clone this, it's probably going to give me an error because I already have a clone. Let's see. Yeah, it does, right? So the path already exists, so I can't clone it. But if I didn't have this clone, then I would actually be able to show that. I click on this instead because, you know, that's where it is. And now the IntelliJ IDE shows up. And there you can see it, well, the text probably a little small. That's fine. I just say allow access here. And yeah, I'll say no. But you can see here, for example, there's the Java, and you can do whatever you want with it. And at this point, it's basically everything that you could do before. So if I need to do a commit, for example, I can just go to synchronize or whatever it is that you need to do. And then at that point, you can do your development, and you have the Git capability within there. So again, IntelliJ, Eclipse doesn't really matter. Command line doesn't matter as well. I didn't show you the command line, but command line is basically the same everywhere. It's a Git repository. Or even if you're using non-Git, if you're using centralized version control with VSTS or TFS, well, we have a command line capability for that as well. So, and again, by the way, because I'm on a Windows machine, but Eclipse or IntelliJ for Macintosh works just fine as well. And Eclipse for Linux as well. The plugins work just fine for that. So,
can't ask for better.
It is nice. It is nice. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Java on Azure. So you can see here, for example, we got the Azure website. And I'm going to show you, actually, I'm going to go in this portal here. So basically what I've done is I've actually opened up the website, the Azure website for this Java application already. So basically you can see here, it's the Deep Space Java demo at azurewebsites.com. So if I click on this, it'll actually bring me here. So just to show you that it's actually the same one. And what I can do now is if I want to, I can take a look no, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's get back here for a second. Make this a little smaller. It's kind of tough to see here. There we go. That's what I wanted. So if I go to this blade here and I say, for example, the application settings, one of the things that you can do when you create an Azure website is you define which framework it's going to support. And as you can see right here, basically I have said that I want to support Java 7, but I can do Java 8 as well. In this case, I'm just using Java 7. The Java Minor version as well, and which web container. In this case, I'm using Tomcat as my container, as you can see right here. Or you can Tomcat 7.0.50, but it can be the newest Tomcat 7.0. You can also see all these types of things as well. You can also define, you know, whether it's 32-bit, 64-bit, all those types of things as well. But by doing this, by setting the web container to be Java, that means that I can actually run a JSP page and use Tomcat as my web server engine and things like that as well. So again, making it as easy as possible for you to do cross-platform development and to use your Java Kung Fu on Microsoft Azure really, really easily to actually deliver that capability as well. So,
right. Don't let the Microsoft part of Microsoft Azure sway you from
Well, it's interesting because, and I think we talked about this in a previous version of, or previous episode, I should say, is the fact that it used to be called Windows Azure.
Yep.
And we basically turfed that branding because Microsoft Azure... Windows Azure implies it has to be Windows.
Exactly.
Microsoft, exactly. I guess you could make the argument, well, it has to be Microsoft Technologies.
The old Microsoft.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So there you go. So
you're all set. Brilliant marketing folks out there.
I tell you. So we are all good. So anyways, that's the long and short of it. Oh, the one other thing I was going to show you is, I mentioned that I promised I was going to show you, was Visual Studio. So if you want to use Visual Studio to do Java development, if you want to add a Java sort of extension, all you have to do is go to the Tools menu and go to Extensions and Updates right here. And you just do a search online. and all I have to do now is say Java. And you can see Java language support here. It's by a person by the name of Sam Hardwell. And it gives you a rating as well, so you can see if it's good. You can see the Java language service for Android and Eclipse. Android. So you see here, for example, Microsoft created this one. So this allows you to have that limited Java support for Android, right? So if you want to build in Java and Android, you can do that in Visual Studio. There's some other ones here, and you can see a whole bunch of different things. Unfortunately, when you do a search for Java, actually, this is JavaScript, as you can see right here, and it gives you JavaScript as well for whatever reason, but obviously. But anyways, the bottom line here is that, you know, if you can create your own extension if you're so inclined to do so, or you can make use of some of the ones that are out there as well, and that gives you the ability to work with that. So that is basically the long and short of it. There isn't a whole lot more that I wanted to show you today. There's a lot more that we could talk about, but you know, I want to respect everybody's time. But as mentioned before, you know, if you want to know more about Java on Visual Studio, just go to java.visualstudio.com, and you can follow the tutorials that I actually just showed you here as well, so you can make use of that. If you want to know more about what we do and some of the topics that we talk about, or if you have a suggestion for a topic, aka.ms/breakpointch9 is basically good hyperlink for you to know, so you can get all the Breakpoint episodes and connect with us on CDN Devs, or use a hashtag Breakpoints.
Now, of course, Paul also happened to have forgotten the fact that we're also on Facebook for those people who are Facebook inclined.
Yes.
You did. And hey, at some point, I need a job as part of this also. So, Paul, cover Twitter. There you are, at CDN Devs, and of course, the Breakpoint CA. Don't forget the CA. The Breakpoint CA hashtag. If you are more Facebook inclined, you can also find us on Facebook at Microsoft Developer. And if you need the URL, facebook.com/MicrosoftDeveloper.Canada. Right? Make sure you post your comments, questions on there. Or if you're watching this on Channel 9, feel free to just post them right on Channel 9. Paul and I would love to have those conversations actually start going so that we can keep the content of these episodes going much past when we actually deploy them onto Channel 9.
Absolutely. And if you have a story that you want to tell about your Java experience on our platform, please tell us.
Yeah, actually, that would actually be quite fascinating.
That would be very cool.
I don't think we have enough of those to be, you know, to so that you guys don't even think that this is just, you know, us telling you it is possible. Hopefully, if there are stories out there, then we'd love to hear them. And then that way, everyone else can be like, yep, that's true.
Absolutely.
So with that, we'll probably say goodbye then. Even though I can't believe it's over already. But until next month, we have plenty more stuff for you. And as Paul mentioned, you know, like we're always looking for more content. And one of the things that we love doing here on Breakpoint is actually doing the content in such a way that we're answering questions that you guys have. So,
yes.
So make sure that you get that over to us. Again, either feel free to comment on any of the videos or just hit us up on Twitter and Facebook and let us know what you want to hear about.
Awesome.
Until then, bye from Paul and I.
See ya.